Mike. My name is Mike Goldman. Normally, I introduce people on the show with three facts, but this time I'm introducing this amazing young woman sitting opposite me with some poetry. There was once a party girl DJ. She used to eat Maccas and drink frappes. Then one day, she hit a wall, and she thought she'd change it all. So she wrote 12 health books and opened a cafe. It's Lola Berry.
Hello. How cold are my hands?
Yeah, your hands are freezing.
So
why are you so cold? Are you a lizard?
I'm always cold, dude. I'm always cold. P.S. Best intro ever.
Thank you.
Can you just chill with me all the time?
Yeah, I can follow you around and just do Lola Berry poetry.
Yes, please.
So look at this. You've done a yoga book.
It's only like 3 days old.
All about the cooking, and now it's all about yoga and the yoga body.
Yes.
Is this for me? Can I keep this?
Absolutely.
I'm always
after
a freebie.
It's a
Today's sponsor is the Yoga Body by Lola Berry. This looks incredible.
Yeah,
this is the first time I've got to see it.
Yeah.
Look at you with your yoga body doing all the poses, the vinyasa and the shinyasa.
You're great at yogas, my friend. You're doing crow pose last time we were together.
I did that last time up on the table. That was quite dangerous. It was a dangerous podcast, that one, wasn't it?
But you did so good.
Thank you.
You smashed
it. I want to come and do one of your classes. How tough are your classes? Are they like intermediate or are they advanced or you do all of them?
You're coming to the launch one on Friday, which is going to be like a medium, easy to medium. And mm-hmm. I do it to tunes because I used to be a DJ, as you know.
Yeah.
But normally they're kind of hard. Tricky. Like when I say hard, I say that I'm talking to your full potential. So like I just want you to really step up to the plate. You know?
Okay, so give it a good go.
Yeah,
so
give it a crack.
It's not the just stretchy yoga. What's that one called where you just do the
Yin?
Yeah, that's where you lie there in
a
stretch.
I'm a bit hardcore.
I was doing some Yin stuff with a friend of mine in Brisbane called Sammy Power, and you just she used to be on radio, Breakfast Radio in Sydney with Doug Mulray years ago.
Yeah.
Now her entertainment output is her Instagram and Facebook and her farmer's markets that she runs. But she took me to a yoga class and I'm doing all these stretches we just lie in for like 5 minutes.
How
it is such
hard
pain.
Is it? I feel I'm quite
what
proud
does that
of
do?
You though. So yin and vinyasa are different. Yin works on more the fascia, the tendon, the ligament, vinyasa ligament, and the vinyasa is muscle based and weight bearing. So different.
Yeah, it's quite
But you're
painful.
Good at them all. You nail it, dude. Yep. I've been
I love
seeing
yoga.
Insta.
How many times a week should you do yoga?
I mean,
Every
I'm traveling so much.
Times?
I've only been going twice a week, but I mean, ideally 3 to 4 in a dream world.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, so, congratulations on the book, and it's launched this week, so it's in stores now. What could people learn from your yoga body? Actually, before I do anything, let's do a little warm up, okay?
Because dude, we're sitting in it.
Before you do a yoga or any sort of exercise, maybe you do a few stretches.
Yeah.
But since we're just talking, we're stretching the mind, okay? So I've got to play a little game with you. You ready
Righto.
For this?
Yeah, dude. I'm
so this game is called Yoga Pose or Beautiful Rose. So I'm going to say a yoga pose. And you got to say if it's a pose, and I'm going to say a name of a rose, and you say if it's a rose, okay?
So I've got to guess whether it's a yoga pose or a rose.
Yeah,
this is fun.
Well, so there's over 150 species of
awesome.
Roses, and yoga poses, I think there's 84 asanas.
Oh, you're asanas. Awesome.
So 84 asanas.
No,
get
so
up
impressed.
Your asana.
I'm so impressed.
But apparently there's 8,400,000 variations.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, so many.
That's according to Lord Shiva.
Oh, you're awesome. You are awesome.
Thank you, Google. Okay, are you ready? I'll make the first one easy. Queen Elizabeth.
Rose.
Handstand.
Yogs.
Pose.
Yogs pose. I call it yogs.
Yogs or
rose.
Yeah, yogs or rose. Okay. Shavasana.
Yogs.
Kapotasana.
Yogs.
Sun sprite.
Rose.
Yay! I thought because it's sun, you know, the sun.
You know, this is awesome. Yeah, this is such a fun game. Oh, I snap a peek then.
Velosa.
Rose.
Oh.
Is it yolks?
No. Yeah, it's a rose.
Rose.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
This is a hard one. The modern shrub.
Okay, rose. You're amazing.
Tadasana.
Ah, this is yolks.
Yeah. Moshata.
Rose?
Yes. Yes. Otherwise, this book is worth nothing. Viparita Karani.
Parani. Viparita Parani. That's yogs.
Okay.
That's a really hard balance.
And lotus.
Yogs. lotus pose as a yo.
Yes, and it's a rose as well.
Okay, double
100%.
Yeah, man.
Yes, this book is now not discounted. You could pay the full price, which is only $34.99 at Harry Hartog's. I noticed you bought your first book as well. Is that like a lucky thing that you do?
And this was the one I bought in Sydney yesterday for you as a luck thing.
No, you actually pay. With your own money. Listen, that's bullshit.
No.
I don't agree with taking free stuff from friends.
It's a present.
I'm paying.
No,
let me buy you
lunch
here. We're at Bondi Public Bar at the moment. Andy and the gang are kindly let us record our show here.
Awesome. So
I'll buy you a burger.
Dude, you are keeping that pineapple for yourself.
I want to talk a little bit about yoga.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how it's good for your body and why people should do it because it's exploding.
Yeah.
Like people are going nuts for yoga all over the world. It's something that the Indians have been doing for thousands of years. And it's not just India?
You're right. So Ayurvedic medicine, Indian medicine, but I mean, it's practiced all over the world. Mm. And I mean, you go to like parts of Japan and whatnot. I don't know the history, but I know that it's absolutely not just India.
Yeah, so there's different versions of it around the world.
Absolutely.
But the main core of it is by Lord Shiva. Who's that dude? He's the guy who invented yoga? Or
yeah, I mean, now you're asking me all. Oh my God, now you're asking me all the hard stuff.
Because Shiva is
like the yogi god, one of the yogi gods. So normally when you go into yoga studios, there'll be either a Shiva room or a big Shiva drawn on there. He's like one of the yogi gods and princes. I think he was betrothed to somebody. Mm. This is crazy, actually. And the chick that he was betrothed to, her dad didn't want her hooking up with Shiva. And he was like, no dice, not going to happen. You're going to be marrying this other dude. And Shiva was like, F this, ripped a lock of his hair out, threw it on the ground, and this lock of hair became warrior, right? So, you know, you've heard of warrior one, warrior two, warrior three.
Yeah, yeah.
So this warrior rocks on up to a party where the girl's dad is,
and
he becomes warrior one, and that's him pulling the effing sword out, not a sexual one. And then warrior two is him chopping the head off of this dad.
Oh, that's the movement.
Yeah, and warrior three is him putting the head on top of a staff. So it's actually quite full on.
It's quite gruesome. It's not so relaxing after. I'm not going to think of like beautiful, peace and love and mung beans anymore. I'm going to think of death when I'm doing my warrior two. That's full on.
Yeah, the warrior poses
and how's
are
your
hardcore.
Form? You go, oh, you're asking me all the hard stuff. I don't know anything. And you just give us like the whole history of India. That's great. Yeah, I don't know anything. You're so humble. But this is all about getting a yoga body. How do you get a yoga body?
Look, to be honest, I mean, we've spoken about this last time. What are you looking at? My butt? Are you looking at my butt?
Totally. It's a great butt.
To be honest, like, I initially went to yogas because I wanted to look real good in bikini. I was like, fuck this. Am I allowed to swear on this show?
Yeah.
I just did. Sorry. I said the F
internet.
Word.
We can do whatever we want. But my mum's watching. Sorry, mum.
Sorry. What's your mum's name?
Erica.
Sorry, Erica.
Mum,
you
should do yoga.
He's amazing.
I think she does sometimes.
But yeah, I went in wanting this like yogi bod, the yogi abs and all that. But at the end of the day, it becomes so much more than that. In yoga, we say that it's calming the vritti, so the fluctuations of the mind. Mm. And so you start off going to yoga going, I want to feel fit. I want to have long limbs. I want to look hot. I want to fit this outfit. And then all of a sudden you're like, actually, I'm a better version of myself when I do yoga. I learn about non-attachment. I learn about the balance of stira and sukha, like strength and softness. You know, I learn about being grateful, even for the yucky stuff. You know, it's really beautiful what you can gain from yoga. It, like the asana or the poses are really just the tip of the iceberg. At the end of the day, it gives you so much and it makes you a nicer version of yourself.
Because it's not just about, you know, stretching and getting a bit of cardio happening at the same time. It's about clearing your mind and it's like a form of meditation in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Absolutely. And if you haven't meditated and you find like TM meditation, Vedic meditation, which is what I'm trained in, that's 20 minutes morning and night. Like it's pretty intense.
You do it every day?
I don't. I'm not compliant at all. Like I go through phases and when I fly, same. I always use the takeoff and the landing, which is 20 minutes to meditate.
Oh,
that's a good handy
I do that
trick.
To download my emails as fast as I can.
Oh, smart. Are you one of those ones that just gets as much work as they can get done on a plane?
I don't know why. I seem to get more work done when I'm on an airplane, probably because there's no Wi-Fi and I can just focus and I'm not getting all these dings and bells and whistles going off every 5 minutes.
So I do that and then I put like a ripper soundtrack on. Like I go through like hardcore hip hop phases where I'm like, get hardcore music on, then it's like pump out 50 emails.
Nice. What kind of hip hop are you listening to?
Oh, well, hey, Kanye's new album just came out. So I've got that on repeat. I'm in two minds about it at the moment though. I'm in 2 months. I've got to listen to it. I've only listened to it like 3 times. I reckon it needs another solid 3 listens.
What do you think about the cover that he put out?
I haven't heard about the cover.
So the cover, I'm not sure if it's still this cover, but it was Whitney Houston's bathroom at the height of her drug-taking binges. It was just this mess.
Really?
And I guess that's his way of making a statement about, you know, this is someone's life and here's a snapshot of it. Don't go that way. But apparently Whitney Houston's family said, yeah, they're all disgusted. And
no dice.
Yeah, so that's really horrible. But what's the music like? It's
pretty good.
Is it different? Is it the usual Kanye stuff?
It's got the Kanye twang, but it's probably a little darker. Mm. I mean, some of the names are like, I'm thinking about Killing You is one of the names of one of the songs. But I think the new Childish Gambino is a maze.
That's
and the
crazy,
video clip, hey.
Like, this is America.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think he's trying to say in that? I think he's saying, look, I'm on a lot of crazy, you know, meds and I've got guns.
He is?
Yeah, because that's why he's doing all the flexions with his face and the weird dancing.
He's a creative, is he?
Is that big creative? Because he's pulling weird twitches with your face.
Do you
like
reckon that's Medicaid? No,
I think he's putting an act as this is America. We're over-medicated.
We're
being given guns.
Yeah.
We're shooting people at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
He shoots the choir. He does all these crazy dance moves.
Dude.
He's perving on some chicks, you know.
He's pretty talented, though.
It's definitely a statement, for sure.
Oh, 100%. I think he is so talented. Mm. I'm a huge Childish Gambino fan. I'm actually a Post Malone fan, which a lot of people pay me out for, but I think Post Malone is amazing.
Yeah, Post Malone's awesome. But Childish Gambino is in the new solo movie
as
well.
Okay. Have you seen it?
He timed it well, didn't he, to release that song at exactly the same time as the solo movie.
That guy is so savvy. That guy is very clever.
Acting,
bit like The Rock, like behind the scenes, he'd be like, din-din-din-din. He'd be like a duck, you know, like super chill on the surface, but deep down like.
Yeah, just planning it and getting it all out.
100%.
Did you see Kanye on TMZ? It was only about in the last month or so. He had this massive spack out and just started yelling at everyone in the office saying, you know, you guys all write these things about me. I went and had liposuction the other day and I was high on drugs and now I'm addicted to these drugs from the pain from having the liposuction just to look good for you people so that you people will write nice things about me. And then I wrote things about Trump, but I'm allowed to speak my mind. And he's going off his nut. And there's a guy in the corner of the room who's having a go at him and saying that he doesn't believe him anymore and doesn't believe in his music. It's full on.
At TMZ.
Yeah, yeah.
He went into TMZ.
But you know how they sit there and they do a friendly little chat and this is TMZ, all the people.
You
he
actually
stood up,
matched,
turned around and just started having a go at everyone.
Like he walked into TMZ.
No, he was sitting there doing an interview, but he turned around and started yelling at all the staff.
Oh, the poor guy. I can't believe he had to have a lipo. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, well, and he was like, looked like he was going to cry.
I forget how much pressure is on people in media. Like, I forget, I mean, even to a certain degree, like, I've been ripped to shreds for the way I look, and lots of my friends have too. It's pretty gnarly. Like,
it's like a politician as well. I mean, people write off politicians, but they also write off people in the entertainment industry. I've got some friends at the moment in Brisbane from best-selling bands putting together a song which is going to be coming out soon.
Yeah.
And it's about mental health.
Yeah.
And mental health in the entertainment industry and the high rates of suicide that among people in the entertainment industry you just don't even hear about. Because there's
so many,
the highs are so incredibly high and the lows are even worse.
And you can continuously judge. I was having coffee with a mate the other day and I was like, yeah, I have a therapist. And they were like, really? And I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely. Mm. My life is so weird. I've sat in meetings where they've printed out photos of my face and ripped up what they thought are ugly. You know, like I've been told that I'm too fat for this and too skinny for this or I'm too blonde for this job or I'm not enough for this or that, you know, I remember, I don't know if I told you this in the past, but I got put forward for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And the response was, Lola, we want actual celebrities.
Oh, what?
Yeah, like you get ripped to shreds.
Bunch of wankers.
Like I've been told, like
who said that to you? Someone from Channel 10?
I don't know who it was. I just
thought
that
was
relayed.
Get more people watching your Instagram than they hadn't watching that show. So who's the celebrity Channel 10?
I've never even seen myself as that anyway, but it's just you do have these like, you know, you get to travel all over the world and do these amazing trips and whatnot, and then you go back and it quietens down for a month and you're kind of like, where's my value and what am I doing? And so it is this amazing, like even with the book, like I'm go, up here at the moment. In a couple of weeks, I know it'll crash like it always does.
You've copped a bit from the newspapers over the years. Yeah. And when you were first starting out, like, actually, you know what? Last night, I was just doing a little bit of research when I was writing that marvellous piece of poetry. Here it is again. No.
yes, please.
On your Facebook page, some mole from a university was having a go at you.
Yeah.
And I just wrote on their troll.
Did you really? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Why not? I mean, all she was saying, because you were just talking about yoga body and your yoga book and, you know, how, you know, it's helped your body and healthy and lifestyle and, you know, eating the right food and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, oh, you'll probably put it back on.
Yeah. Like, I get that all the time.
Why does someone say that? Especially someone from a university. I mean, sure that you're studying whatever you're studying and you're at the top of your game. But why would you want to go on someone's Facebook page and write something negative like that, you tool?
You know what, though? This is one thing I've learned over the years. People take their crap out on you, and it's probably because she was having a really shit day.
Yeah.
Or she's going through her own battle, and she's like, well, that's an easy target. It's a public target. So I never take any
water
of that
off a duck's back.
But
that's good that you're like that, because a lot of people aren't.
Oh.
Like what about the girl who was a judge on Next Top Model?
Yeah.
She used to take every single troll personally and sometimes track them down to speak to them about whatever they wrote.
Sometimes I respond, like depends how fiery I feel. And sometimes I'll be like, yo, sorry, what? Like, and I'll call it out sometimes if it needs to be called out. But at the end of the day, I think everyone is fighting their own battle. And and if that means they're going to feel better for paying me out, go for gold.
People love a bit of a joust, though. I think if there's someone having a go at you or saying something and you're saying something back and you're looking like you're trying to talk them around or trying to understand where they're coming from, then that's entertainment for a lot of people.
I know.
So that's what people would tune into reality TV to watch.
Yeah.
So it's probably better to just let them go. Because like I remember you were telling us in the last interview that we did about when you started out, you wanted to call your book Stop Eating That Fat Bitch or something. What was it called?
Stop Being a Fat Bitch, yeah.
Yeah. But that's funny. I mean, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you were psyching yourself up to, you know, stop drinking so much, stop eating so much, start exercising. And so everyone took it as if you were saying it to all of them.
Yes.
And some of the things that people wrote were just horrifying.
Oh, yeah. I was thrown out the door. Like, I think I told you there was a hashtag bin the berry and photos of my books in the bin. But, I mean, I remember one day I was working at this juice bar. I just started working on 9 a.m. with David and Kim. Do you remember that morning show on Channel 10? And I was their nutritionist. I was on once a week and I loved it. But you know what one segment pays? It's like $300 a pop. You know, it's not much money. So I was also working in a juice bar and practicing as a nutritionist, and this nutritionist walked into the juice bar and I was starstruck. Like, I'd done a macrobiotic cooking class before I'd started studying, and I was like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of you. Like, I'm girl crushing right now. It's so lovely to meet you in real life. And she turned to me and she goes, it's a really hard industry. And I said, yeah, I love it though. And she goes, I know you. And I said, we've never met. You know, I was at the back of your cooking class. There was like 300 people in there. We never met. And she goes, you're that girl off morning TV. And I said, yeah, that's me. And she goes, you are a disgrace to the nutrition industry.
What?
Yeah. And she goes, how could anyone take you seriously by the way you dress? Because I wear Converse and like.
So what does a nutritionist have to dress like a weirdo?
She said
a scientist.
She said you should be in a suit. And I said, oh.
Piss off.
I was like, thanks. But I was only 23 when that happened, Mike. And at 23, you're pretty impressionable and you kind of, you know, I looked up to her. And so I remember like I served, there were 5 people lined up for smoothies, served them all in silence, so awkward. As soon as I left, I shut the front door, locked it, ran out the back and started crying. And I thought in that moment I can either believe in myself or I can not and take on all this bitch's fucking crap, like really, and take it on. And I was like, stuff it. She's having a really bad day. Just like, it's not me, it's her.
Yeah, that most of the time when people start carrying on like a moron, it's something that's going on in their life.
Yeah.
It's something that they're dealing with and they're just taking it out on you.
Yeah.
And you just go, you know what? I'm just going to step back and just let you get whatever you got to get off your chest and not take it on board, because clearly you've got a problem. But we love you, so enough with the negative crap. Tell me about the food in this yoga body book.
Yeah, so it's all inspired by Ayurvedic medicine, so Indian medicine.
What's that? Ayurvedic. Like
Indian, it's fun to say, isn't it? Ayurvedic.
How are you feeling today? Ayurvedic.
Well, actually, we've all got different doshas. So there's like Vata, Pitta, Kapha.
What's a dosha?
A dosha is kind of like your constitution. Yeah, so I would be Vata, like quite little, always cold, love being warm, love warming food. I'd say you're probably Pitta. Males are generally
Pitta bread.
Pitta, yeah, totally. Males are generally Pitta dominant, so stronger, go-getter, driven, fiery. So I have an element of Pitta in me, but I get so cold, I'm so feminine and girly. Mm. You would call me a Vata dominant personality.
So do you match that with food?
Yes.
What?
So you eat.
So you're matching your personality to what you eat.
100%.
That's crazy.
You can even go to restaurants and stuff where they'll look at your dosha, because we are a balance of all three. You've just got one dominant one.
Yeah.
So you'd be Pitta. You're go, 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 right?
Yeah.
And you like to, you run your own businesses, all that. You're a Pitta, yeah? So for you, you actually don't want all the fiery foods. You want the more calming stuff.
Like
you want
what?
More
Milo.
More Milo. I used to love Milo.
Is that the calming food? It calms me.
Do you make it when you put the little like hunk of it at the bottom and then fill it with milk and then put a hunk of it
at
the
top? Yeah, you got to have it with a spoon.
Yeah.
When you get get to the end, it's like a bit of Milo that just didn't blend with the milk and it's just such a little present at the bottom of the cup and you're just like,
that was my year 12 food.
There it is. Thank you.
It's so good.
It's like a little chocolate
at the bottom. So good.
But so what would be my food being a Pitta?
As a Pitta, you probably want.
My spirit animal.
You do well with cooling foods, yeah? So things like salads, green smoothies would be great for you.
Yeah.
You know, lots of proteins do really well for you. Stuff that's going to give you that kind of like, that kind of strength, but also cool you and calm you down. So for me, I want like chili, spices, garlic, ginger, pitta, stuff that builds pitta, builds fire, gives me that heat. Whereas if you have too much of that heat, it can make someone that gets too pitta dominant can be too aggressive, too far down that line, won't sleep well at night, you know. So you need that kind of happy balance of all three doshas. And then if you're too far down more kapha, which is the third one, which is where, you know, it's generally someone that's a bit more heavier and a bit slower and needs more sleep and a bit more like mellow and chill. If you give them too many carbs and too much like
it'll slow them down even more.
Yeah. So whereas you and I do okay with that stuff because it kind of gives us a little bit, because Vata is very go, go, go and flighty as well. So it's very fascinating.
So how many different versions of a person are there? There's only three.
There's three types and you're always a combination of all three, but you are Pitta dominant.
Oh, okay. So I should have a little bit more Pitta food.
Pitta food and more Kapha Vata food to balance out your Pitta.
Right. And is that all in
here? All in here.
How did you come across this?
Bizarrely, I forget that I'm smart sometimes.
Yeah, you do. It's crazy. Like, I honestly have never even heard anything about eating for your personality and your body
so
type.
It's so fun.
And I've heard about eating for your blood type.
Yeah, it's a similar ballgame, but Indian medicine. And there's also a 7-day vegan cleanse in here too. If you ever, oh my God, that was so yum. I ate like half the loaf on the shoot.
Paleo, chamomile, and lemon loaf.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, just a few of the recipes here. That there's a few more yoga poses. I'm in the yoga pose. Oh, Jesus, yoga posing section. Holy hell! How are you? Are you upside down in?
I'm a backbender by trade,
Oh my God, you're sitting on your own head.
No, I can back. If you show them that photo at the back, I'm a backbender by trade. So
it's banana cake. That's what it is.
So I can do cool backbends. I can't even do a handstand, though. And I know you can
do
a handstand.
I can't do it.
Yeah, you can.
I can do the crow.
Yeah, you're amazing at
but
the crow.
But I can't do
He's
a handstand.
He's really good at yogs, this one.
I tried doing a handstand and I fell on my back, so my confidence is gone. I had the teacher standing there and making sure that it wouldn't stack it, but they missed me and I backslapped in front of the whole class.
That's all right. At least you did it.
At least I had a go.
Did you hurt yourself?
Oh, no, I was fine. It hurt my confidence.
That's okay.
Hurt my ego.
Well, the whole point of yoga is to let go of the ego. That's the whole theory of it. So they say when you hurt yourself or injure yourself, it's a beautiful lesson for the ego.
Yeah.
Like I recently broke my rib and I couldn't practice
yoga. Break your rib.
I was training and I was hanging on a monkey bar and fell upside. I was hanging upside down and I fell on concrete.
What were you being silly, hanging upside down?
Yeah, I was
you
like a monkey. Imagine like a monkey.
You're being a dick, weren't you?
No, I was doing what I was told. Training? I was training and I was doing what I was told. But I didn't land properly. It was the most painful thing. I woke up in the middle of the night just bawling my eyes out.
Oh, so that's not going to be good when you've...
So I couldn't do yoga for 6 weeks. Mm. So I've just been slowly getting back into it now.
So food that you can eat that is going to give you the yoga body plus all of the yoga poses as well.
Yes.
And you've got yoga classes that you run sometimes here in Sydney and in Melbourne. Yes. All over Australia, I guess, wherever you do your book launches and stuff
Mate,
like that.
Mate, I've taught at the base of Uluru or Ayers Rock. I don't know what legal, what are we meant to be calling
Uluru.
It? Uluru, thank you.
Ayers Rock's the first fleet name for it,
I think. Yeah, see, this is what I'm going to be, this is where I'm not smart at all, but Uluru. So
you got
it
right. You said Uluru to start with.
At the base of it, and I asked for permission and everything, but I'm quite spirit, you know, I'm quite hippie and spiritual. Yeah, so I was like, please, may I teach yoga here? And I taught yoga there. That was so much fun. But I'm about to go to Queenstown and teach yoga there.
Oh, wow, cool. How long have you been there for? Is it just like a promo for the book, or are you going to teach for a
while? There's an amazing retreat that you would love, actually, called Aroha. Mm-hmm. And so I'll teach it. It's very, think Lord of the Rings. It's in Glenorchy, but I'm going in one day early because I think I'm going to skydive.
Oh, what? You ever done that before?
Yes, and I loved it.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
I'll be
cool.
doing it again. But apparently,
tandem
if you
skydive?
Do it, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's where they strap you to the front of someone.
Yeah, and then they effing ask you out when you land.
Well, you know what? That's funny that you say that, because I was strapped to the front of this guy where I did it on the Gold Coast, and everyone's laughing in the plane as we're going up, and I'm going, what's going on here? Private joke? Like, I don't want a private joke, but
out.
I'm about to risk my life.
He asked you out.
And there's, oh, we'll tell you when we land. And anyway, most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, jumping out of a plane and had the camera on me and like, I'm just totally freaking out. And then we landed and we're on the bus back to the airport to get my stuff. And I said, what were you guys laughing about when we were up on the plane? And he goes, Stephen, who you were strapped to, he's a massive fan, and he's gay as well. And I'm thinking, why was he getting me to pull that ripcord?
Well,
that was the wrong one. But no, he also had it. When we got back to the airport, he actually had a photo of me in his locker where he keeps all his stuff.
Oh, come on, that's good. So the first time that I jumped with a mutual friend of ours, James Curley, who I call Champo. And he warned me as we were driving there. He's like, just so you know, often skydiving guys are going to, they'll ask the girl out they jump with. And I was like, really? Whatever. And then he's like, what are you going to give me if I keep you alive? Like, you know, right? So Champo just feeds me to the lions, doesn't – I'm like, the whole point of going with a straight mate is to protect you in these scenarios. So I've never let Champo get away with that.
Why do you call him Champo?
Champo, because we did yoga teacher training together and there was a
– Oh, so you both learned at the same time?
Together, yeah.
Right. Okay, and when's his yoga book coming out? Curly, come on.
I'm actually filming something with him tomorrow. You two remind me of each other.
Are you going to his game show?
Yeah.
Yes, he asked me to go on it too.
Are you going
to
do it too?
I don't know when, but yeah, I'll do it for sure.
I'm doing it tomorrow night.
Oh, that'll be fun. That's cool. That's going really well. It's called The Cash Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you download this app, you got the chance to win all this cash. And James Curley, who is a mate of ours, who he hosted Cash Cab in Australia, taken out so many different shows. He's an auctioneer on weekend. I love James Curley. He's a good mate of ours, but make sure you download the app. It's called Cash Show, and I think it's twice a day, and you can win all this money. But he was a host of Cash Cab, Maxim TV, all these
you
other shows.
You two have been
taken
mates
out
for yonkers, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we've been mates for a long time. Hung out in LA a bit when he was living there for a while as well. Yeah. But I look forward to seeing your show tonight. I'll tune in as well. Speaking of the States, you regularly go over there and appear on different shows. What's the plans for the future? Is the book coming out in the US?
Hopefully. So I've currently got one book out in the US market at the moment, which is so fun. And then Happy Place, a smoothie bar that I've got. We want to do a pop-up in Los Angeles. So just looking at getting over there. But, I mean, it's a big process getting to America other than just going over, because I always go over for like a month and I'm like, woo, fun. Yeah. Whereas if you go over for work, it's a little bit more of a bigger process.
You've got to have a green card or an
Correct.
O-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
So what are you going for?
I'm deep in the middle of it all at the moment.
You're getting the green card or the O-1?
I'm going for three different ones.
Oh, right.
I'm like, try for them all. Try for them all.
Why not? If anyone's thinking of getting their green card or anything like that, you've got to be careful, because the first time I went for it, I had a guy it was actually my O-1, had a guy who said he was a lawyer, but he wasn't, ripped me off like $5,000. So
Be
very careful. Make sure you know some people who have got their visa through that person before.
Yeah, because it is a really big process. I'm learning so much. But it's so much fun to learn. And like, it's funny because like, I'm really missing, like, I love Australia so much. And I'm like, do I want to go?
You know what? We are so lucky here in Australia.
And
after living in the States for 2 years, I really appreciated living in Bondi, living in Sydney. You know, you're being able to, you know, fly for an hour to get to Brisbane and the Gold Coast or Melbourne. And we live in such an incredible country. And we're so lucky. And the food here is so much better. I don't give a shit what anyone says. The food and
the
coffee.
There is one place in Los Angeles, though, called Air One. Well, I call it Air One, but Americans call it like Air One. It's insanely amazing. Oh, they do really? The best gluten-free
Curtis
pumpkin
Stone's
pie.
Curtis Stone's got a good restaurant there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, he's a champ.
And there's the Gratitude Cafe.
Yeah.
You've been to Cafe Gratitude in LA.
Yeah.
So when you order, the waitress comes over and she goes, okay, before I take your order, I'd just like to find out what you're all grateful for today. I'm grateful for you lovely people.
Yeah.
And, I'm not grateful for the prices. They're a little bit what are you actually grateful for?
Do you know who told me to go there for the first time? Moby. I had a crazy night out with Moby when I was a bit younger.
Moby, the actual singer?
Yeah.
No way. How'd you meet him? Moby?
I just got back from New York and I was working in a smoothie bar and we just got chatting. He obviously had an American accent. He was here for Splendor or Falls, one of those two.
Yeah.
And he's vegan and he was in that smoothie bar I was working at. We were chatting. And I'm like such an I don't know if you can tell, I'm a bit of an open book, but I'm also a boys' girl. Mm. So I find boys so much fun to be around and they're just no drama and all that. They're just fun and easy. And so I can chat to boys like until the cows come home.
Mm.
And we were just chatting. I was like, oh, yo. I'm like, here's my card. Like, shoot me an email if you've got any tips for America. Next minute, check my phone. He's like, hey, it's Moby from before. Do you want to come to my gig tonight? And I was like, what?
Does he say it's Moby or is he
says
his real
Moby.
Name?
He says Moby. His real name is Richard.
Yeah.
And I went to his gig. I went backstage and he made me a carrot and celery juice and he was like, I don't do drugs or drink anymore. This is how I eat. There was like tubs of hummus anywhere. Wow. And then we stayed pen pals for 2 years.
Oh, wait. Are you still speaking to him or you haven't?
I should shoot him an email and just see what happens. He was so sweet, but he'd write the most bizarre but kind but lovely. Imagine every time I would go to America, I'm like, where do I go? And he'd just give me a full list.
Oh, nice. Is that when he was having the feud with Eminem?
Oh, my God. This would be so long
ago. Eminem
was
doing all these songs and bagging Moby.
No, I didn't know this.
Yeah. So what were you going to say? He's got a business.
He's got his own vegan cafe in New York.
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, or he did that back then. I would have been like 25 when this happened.
Wow.
I've had a few weird nights out with like random musicians. I don't know how it
Who
happens.
Else?
Florence the Machine.
Oh, really? What's she like to party with?
Really quirky, really cool. That was in Siglo in Melbourne. So, you know that cool cigar bar in Melbourne, that famous one above all the theatres?
Yeah. That's cool.
That was really cool. Selena Gomez came to my house in Sydney.
Oh, nice.
She was filming with my roommate.
She has like 360 million followers or something on Instagram.
I'm a bit of a Selena
fan.
Like,
not just 1 or 2 million, which is impressive, like 300
Yeah,
million.
I know. She's insane.
Yeah.
Do you know one of the coolest people I've met, which was recently? James Bay. Legend.
James Bay.
The singer.
Oh, I don't know James Bay.
Oh, you would. Let it go. Yeah. He's like probably a bit too little like folksy for you. Mm. Amaze. Champion. Well,
folksy. How do you know I don't like folk music?
Do I look like somebody who likes let techno? Let it go and hold back the rear. You'd know his music for sure.
Yeah, I would. I used to be a DJ on the radio, but I've sort of dropped off the radar now with a lot of new
music
and stuff.
You need to do all this stuff because I feel like it suits you. We need to get you back on the airwaves, my friend.
What? This is my airwaves.
I know.
I'm not building up a show for some radio network so that they can fire me and keep all of the listeners.
You can do both. Okay. Usher does both.
Maybe I will. I'm probably cruising along a little bit taking it too easy at the moment.
Dude,
I've been doing a little bit of acting lately, which is good.
Can I interview you? What are you doing
now? I've just scored a place in a role in the show A Place to Call Home, which is big in the US and the UK. It's on ABC TV. And I play an American
of course, a
Hollywood movie producer.
Where do you shoot?
I am not sure, but I know it shoots in Sydney. I had the fitting the other day because it's set in the 50s. And
Sick.
You should see their wardrobe there. They've won all these awards for all these incredible wardrobes, a whole warehouse. And like, I'm trying all these clothes that are actually from the 1950s, 1960s.
No.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And I've got a movie coming out called Robot 4, which I've only got a small part in as well.
Who cares?
Which we shot in New York. It's about all these crazy robots that the secret department of the CIA drop in the middle of the Cambodian jungle to kill all the drug lords and stop the drug trade. And like, my girlfriend's living over there and she's a doctor that's working with these robots and scientists, and I'm in New York and she's on the phone to me and I'm on the Brooklyn Bridge and I'm saying, you've got to get out of there.
When does this come out?
I'm not sure. Well, Mark Toy is the director and he's one of the most amazing commercial directors in the world. And this is his first feature film. And he's showed me a bit of the footage. It's absolutely incredible.
Dude.
Yeah, it'd be really cool if I could preview a little bit on this show.
Yeah,
so
congrats.
Hopefully we will soon.
I feel you'll be doing more America stuff too, mate. Mm. I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can just feel it in my bones.
Is that your psychic emotion?
I am psychic.
Are you?
My nan reads tarot cards. I'm totally psychic.
Really?
Yeah, man.
So what, is it just like, do you think everyone's a little bit psychic?
Totally. If you tune into your intuition in your heart, 100%. Mm. You can read people pretty far. I'm really good. So I've got this friend and I was saying to him, I was like, you are way more intellectually intelligent than me, which he is. But I'm like, I am so emotionally intelligent and spiritually and intuitively intelligent. Which kind of like balances the feel out.
A bit more street smart as well, maybe.
I'm so savvy, dude. Like, I just love this. Like, we ran into each other at Bondi Markets and now we are here.
And here we are doing a show.
Because we were like, let's do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I believe people come in, like, nothing happens without a bit of like luck and for a reason. But you got to jump on that too. Like,
yeah.
We saw each other for frigging 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then next minute you're making an amazing crystal necklace for your dad. You know.
Poor old dad's had cancer for seven years. And you told me a crystal that would work well for his neck chakra.
Yep.
And there's actually a girl walking around the markets who had an amazing one on, but she wouldn't sell it to me. So I went, stuff this. I'll go to the little crystal shop
so
in Bondi.
Cool.
And I made it. And dad's still wearing it around his neck.
Yeah.
He said, I don't understand why, but it does. It's like got a cooling effect because he's got cancer in the throat. But he still gets on his radio show every day. And like he had an operation only a week ago.
What a legend.
On air a week later.
What a legend.
And the technology now and the way that the doctors can just, you know, freeze a cancer or cut it out of you is just mind-blowing. But
you're both so lucky to have each other.
He's hanging in there. But at the moment we're in a bar called, it's a brand new bar in Bondi called Bondi Public Bar.
Yeah, I love it.
And we're having a big party here on the 19th of June. It's Tuesday, the 19th of June, for the Mongol Rally launch.
What's that?
So my mate Henrik Lobachevsky is the best fashion photographer in the world. He's been nominated twice for Cannes International Fashion Photographer, and he like did Next Top Model with Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
And Sam Crane, who does all the powerhouse art of dance events out at Kudos Bank Arena.
Yeah.
We're going in the Mongol Rally, which is driving a 1 litre car, that's the rule, like a crappy little Toyota Yaris from London to Mongolia. It's like 16,000 kilometres, like Brisbane to Sydney 15 times, all the way through Russia, all the way through these crazy European countries and in the back streets of fucking Russia. And we're going to do it for the Charlie Tio Foundation to raise money.
Awesome. I might fly up for that, dude.
Yeah, cool.
Well,
June 19 for sure.
Yeah. I've got to be here on the 21st for World Yoga Day. I'm teaching for World Yoga Day anyway, so I'll just come up a day early.
Yeah, wicked. Well, follow us at Mongol Rally Men on Instagram. And
is that why you wear the amazing outfits?
Well. Yeah, that's like
oh,
a
dude.
Well, Henrik, he's fashion photographer, he loves fashion. So he bought one of those Gucci tracksuits for like $4,500. They're ridiculous for a tracksuit. So I got online and I found a copy for $50.
Yours looks amazing. I love when you – I feel so this should be part of your always wardrobe.
I should always –
can I put that forward?
Always be wearing the ridiculous tracksuits everywhere I go.
Please.
My mum thinks it looks great, but she's like, darling, are you a bit too old for that, do you think?
No, never.
I'm a bit too old to dress like you're 15-year-old.
No way.
I think those crazy tracksuits and party pants and all that kind of stuff are going to come back into fashion. Crazy things.
100%.
More colours.
Yeah, man.
I'm so sick of fashion going, oh, it's grey, it's black,
you
got to
do that cool pose though, you know, like where you crouch down like these ones. Yeah, and like a gold chain maybe. That could be nice.
Yeah, I love a good gold chain. Mixed in with the hairy chest
do
right
it.
There.
Do it.
That works. But Mongol Rally Men, if you want to sponsor any of the money that you do donate, goes directly to the Charlie Tio Foundation for Brain Cancer. And because I hosted all these events over the last few years, the fundraisers for people who had brain cancer or different organisations. And then my auntie Marcella, who was married to Stan Zamanek, famous radio announcer in Australia and great family friend, he lost his life to brain cancer. She's running the Charlie Tio Foundation. And I didn't even know that. I rang up and said, I want to raise some money for your people. And she's like, is that Michael? What are you doing ringing me?
Oh.
I'm like, Marcella. What are you doing there? I didn't even know that she was running
it.
So we're going to do some great stuff together. And
awesome.
We raised $1.3 million the other night at the International Convention Center for the big Charlie Tio fundraiser, and they made me an ambassador. Maybe you want to help out and be an ambassador as well.
Totally.
I'll introduce you, but come along. That'll be fun. The Mongol Rally is going to be just a crazy adventure. I'm worried about the food, though. I got a friend who's done it, and he said, mate, the food is horrible. Like, everywhere you go, like, along those back country towns.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
You just got to go with it, and it's an experience.
Mm.
That's your best option, just experience and just write it off, chalk it off to experience.
Well, thank you for interviewing me.
Thank you for having me.
Me talk about myself on the show.
It's so much fun. We need to keep this up. I like it.
Let's do it whenever you're in Sydney. Let's get you on the show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about whatever's going on in the world. We'll talk about all different diets. Because I've recently started doing the keto diet a little bit.
Yeah,
what do you think of the keto diet?
Awesome, dude. Yeah. I mean, you always look really fit and healthy to me, but I think the keto diet is sick. I really like it. Sick as in good. Mm. I also really like intermittent fasting. I think just try it all on, see what works well for you. Mm. Keto is good though because it forces the body into ketogenesis, so really good for burning fat.
So explain to people that don't know what ketogenesis is.
So you're cutting the carbohydrates out. So normally our first source of energy is carbs. Mm. So by pulling the carbs back and going heavily on fat and protein, it's forcing the body into ketogenesis, so burning fat to make energy. It takes about 3 to 4 days to click into proper ketogenesis, but it's very powerful for weight loss. Not long term, though, you do need carbohydrates eventually for maintenance and just for healthy organ function, but it's a really great way to kind of like, if you've got a goal or a shoot coming up, to kind of drop a bit of weight. That with intermittent fasting, you're laughing.
So what kind of foods do they have on their keto diet? It's like avocado. And good fats.
Butter's still on it.
Good fats. Butter.
Yeah, man. Butter's yogurt. Still on it. You can do yogurt. You can do steak. You can do fish. You can do chicken. You can do eggs. It's more like you pull like anything really carby out, like rice, bread.
It's a little bit paleo.
Yeah, it's very paleo inspired.
Is that why Pete Evans is so into it?
Pete loves it. Yeah,
the TV host chef from My Kitchen Rules.
I love Pete.
He was on the
awesome
project the other night. They just ripped him a new arsehole. They were so
Did
horrible
they?
To him.
Oh, he's such a good egg. I love Pete.
He's got a new movie on Netflix. It's the Magic Pill.
Yeah, I want to see it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, amazing.
Really?
That's what made me think this makes complete sense.
Oh, dude, I'll watch it.
I'm going to have a crack at and see how I feel on this diet. And my energy levels are so much better than what they've been in the past.
That's awesome.
I tried being vegan for a while. I just felt like I had no energy.
No.
And
you've got to go with
really
what works
hard.
For you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Like what works for you might not work for my body. So always tune into how you feel. Like for a 3-hour window after eating something, do you get tired? Do you get grumpy? Tune into what makes you feel good.
I went up to Byron Bay a couple of weeks ago to shoot a TV pilot with a friend of mine, Andrew McIver, who's helping us out shooting here as well.
Yeah.
He's got a new show called The Source, which is all about going to the source of where
like
the native foods are.
Yeah.
And I met a lot of farmers and
met
the head chef, Ali, from Harvest, which is an incredible restaurant.
Oh, I love
restaurant.
Harvest.
Man, you have to go there.
I have.
That place
I love that.
Is
they do
mind-blowing.
This macadamia milk chai latte. Oh my God.
So they've got the restaurant there and they've got this other sort of cafe, sort of deli there where you can buy stuff as well.
Yeah.
But they bought this house just next door to there and they have a full-time forager.
Oh
so
my God.
So this is this guy who goes through the forests like looking
food.
For different plants and vegetables that you you can actually eat.
Like, there'd be so much indigenous stuff around Byron
too. And like they're serving stuff in dishes that are like succulents.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's some succulents that you can eat?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. But this is the really mind-blowing thing. That third house that they've got there, it looks like a scene out of Breaking Bad. It looks like a meth lab. They have like 1,000 of these big white buckets.
Yeah.
And inside the buckets are everything from a wattle that's been sitting there in and been vinegarized.
Fermenting
for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And you taste it, and it's this incredible vinegar. You know the flower that's on top of the pandanus plant, the little tiny. So they actually sell this. I bought a bottle of it. It's pandanus vinegar, and it's got this incredible fruity vinegar, and they use it in cooking. So essentially, I mean, they're a hatted restaurant, so one of the best restaurants in Australia, and essentially they're making their own flavors.
Yeah, awesome.
So it was one of the most amazing dining experiences of my life.
Yeah,
because
so
we got
good.
To eat with the chef as well, and he talked us through it. I love it when that happens. But the most amazing one was it tasted like port. It was, I think that was the bottle brush. What was that, Andrew? What was the one that tasted like port?
A wattle seed.
That was a wattle
awesome.
Seed that had been sitting in this gas tank for about, was it 5 years or something?
Yeah.
10 years. And when we had a taste of it, it just tasted like this most amazing port. But if you get the chance, get up there and check out Harvest.
I love
restaurant.
Byron.
That was really, really good. Oh. But my point was I was getting to meet a lot of the chefs and a lot of the farmers.
Yeah.
I hung out with the chicken farmer up there and the
so good.
The Byron Bay grass-fed beef guys.
So good.
Just learning all the different things about why grass-fed beef is so much better
Way
than grain-fed.
Better.
And you know, eating organic chickens. that actually roam around rather than the ones in a shed, and understanding that, you know, it's not necessarily better for the environment and we have to do it to put them in a shed, because some people think, oh, we have to because we've got to feed all these people, but they're having the chickens go around on the land is actually, you know, a circle of the ecosystem that's totally. That's working with Mother Nature. And
totally.
So that's made me think, I used to think, organic or schmanic, whatever, you know, I'm not going to eat that. That's all a load of hippie shit. But it's actually true. And if we're not getting the nutrients that we get used to get like 1,000 years ago from the food, because it's mass produced and sprayed, and it's killing us and giving us cancer.
Yeah, man, there's very much an ethical picture, but there is also the health picture as well. And I think if we can strip it back to almost like simple food and simply like grass fed, you know, like not lot fed stuff with hormones and grain and all that, like it's almost just going back to basics and making it way. Health is so much simpler than we think it is.
And if you don't understand what something is on the back of a packet of Coles or Woolies or whatever,
pop it down.
Just don't buy
it. If it feels like, if you pick it up and it feels like year 12 chem class, E15 this, blah, 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 that, like it's probably going to outlive you. How gross.
It's made by a food scientist,
not
a nutritionist. Like Lola Barry is a nutritionist. Yes. She will tell you what is good to eat. And she's a hell of a lot of fun. I love having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honour. And I'm going to come up for your party.
Yeah, on the 19th. Fantastic. Yeah. We'll be doing a new dance routine.
Oh, awesome.
We did our launch party as the Mongol Rally Men. Yeah, and we played that song, Shagarong.
So
have you heard that song? Shagarong. And we come out and we do the pyramid, and we do this other one called the dolphin where you know, when at SeaWorld, but the guy rides the dolphins. Henrik's riding us, and everyone's clapping.
Awesome.
We had Charles Billich come along, you know, the artist. He's one of the best artists in Australia. Like this
guy
down at Circular Quay, he's got a massive art gallery.
Yeah.
And he's a national treasure. I don't think we celebrate this guy enough. He's recently had a meeting with the Pope, and some of his artwork is going in the Vatican. I think he already had some in the Vatican before, but he has artwork in the White House. Sick. And there's never been an artist like this guy in Australia. We should celebrate him. But he came last time, and he bought one of those tracksuits. He got out on the dance floor. I mean, this guy's like 70-something, and he's rocking out. So much fun. Him and his wife, Krista Billich. Actually, they're going to be coming up in an episode of On the Mic very soon.
Awesome.
So he's got some great stories. But, he'll be there again, I'm sure, and a whole heap of random celebrities doing all these crazy dance moves at Bondi Public Bar, which is straight across the road from the beach.
Right here, where we are right now.
Where mathematics is sexy.
Yeah.
And you can come along, try the best cocktails in Australia, and amazing bar food, and meet Lola Berry. Why not?
Yeah.
Bring your copy of the Yoga Body, and maybe she'll sign it for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I love it. So much fun. You're the best.
Thanks, babe.